In today's parable, we heard that the king invites persons with elite status to join him at the celebration of his son's wedding, where a banquet will be held. He prepares only the best to serve to his very elite guests that he expects will attend. However, when the celebration is about to begin, the king sends his servants out to invite these guests to come and join. But the guests turn down the invitation. I'm sure the king was embarrassed by the fact that nobody came, so he sends his servants out again, this time telling them all about the feast of oxen and calves that he had prepared to serve to them. You see, it's a bit sad when one group of people think they are too good for another group. The king reminds me of a child who wants to play with the cool kids on the block, but is not invited. And although there was a group of kids down the street that wanted to play with this child, the child only wanted to be with the group he or she saw as cool. We all know that kids can be harsh, so the child brings out a bag of candy to lure friends to come and play. When the friends still don't come, the child turns back to the original group that was welcoming him. However, they're no longer interested in letting him play. Can you imagine having been invited to the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton and turning down the invitation? All the pomp and circumstance and the beautiful dresses and by the bride and the bridal party. And you, along with all your friends, just don't show up? What must that feel like to the guest of honor? Take it a step further. What happens if we're invited to God's banquet in heaven? Will we turn down that invitation? In today's reading, it gets worse. The elitists turn down the invitation a second time. Some of the people continued along with their business, while the others, we learned, seized the servants, mistreated them, and even killed some of them. This behavior enraged the king, and he told his servants that those who were originally invited were not worthy. Then he retaliated and destroyed their city. Finally, we heard that the king sent his servants to invite all whom they can find to attend this wedding, the good, the bad, and I'm sure the rich and the poor as well. The guests were all given robes to wear to the celebration, but as we heard, the king saw one guest without a robe. This guest was bound and sent out to the streets in the dark, as not having a robe was a clear sign that he was not chosen to attend these festivities. What is it all about, this life that we are living? We work hard, we achieve our goals. Some of us has raised a family of whom we're quite proud. Our needs have been met, and most of our wants have been met as well. But I ask again, what is it all about? Most of us were born here in these United States of America. We're in the land of milk and honey, the land of the free, the land of opportunity. Of course, within our parameters, we come from various backgrounds and families with various financial means. But whether our parents were rich or if they were poor, we all had what we needed growing up. We had food on our tables, we had clothes on our backs, and we had beds to sleep on. Some of us had small homes, and others may have had larger homes. Some parents drove a fancy car, while other parents drove what they could afford. But regardless of those financial differences and variations, compared to many places in this world, I am willing to go out on a limb and say, we had what we needed. We had schools to educate us and churches where we were free to worship according to our individual beliefs. That, my friends, is comfort. Comfort in knowing we had those homes to come back to at night with food in our refrigerators to fill our bellies. And as we had our own families, we had enough food to feed our children. Our parents gave us what we needed, and many of us have had the opportunity to pass it down to the next generation. You see, there are many places in this world where things aren't quite as comfortable. Because of our great opportunities, we sometimes forget that what we have is a blessing. It is a gift that not everybody was lucky enough to get. We see commercials on television depicting children that are hungry at night and need food. We go to beautiful resorts on our vacations, but have we ever sat and looked out the bus window while we were on our way. What we see is foreign to us, homes no larger than our living rooms, with windows knocked out. Yet to many people in different parts of the world, this is home. As we travel along the road, we see innocent children outside playing in the dirt, kicking around a ball, and smiling at the bus filled with Americans that's passing by. You see, whether we were rich or poor, it is clear that these people simply do not have the same opportunities that we have been given. Yet very often, they are happy because this is the life that they know. You may be asking yourselves where I'm headed with this, why I'm even bringing it up. Well, I'll tell you. It's because whether we are rich or poor, most of us had the opportunity to be so comfortable that we find ourselves taking life for granted. Do we stop to smell the roses, as they say, and appreciate all that we have? Do we stop to give God the glory and the thanks for what he has provided, where he has placed us in this life? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 tells us, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We have been blessed, and somehow we have been chosen to live in a country where freedom reigns. We started our lives blessed and chosen, but the more important question is, will we be chosen when the time comes to meet Jesus? Will we be chosen to be at his table? Will he invite us to his heavenly banquet? Or will we be cast aside as the man without the wedding garb was, tied and thrown out into the darkness? You see, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God is open to everyone. But what do we have to do to get there? The question looms. Do we have to give away all of our belongings? I don't really know the answer to that, but I don't think so. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7 states, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is what I think God wants from us. I think he wants us to get out of our comfort zones. As Pastor Debbie said last week, he doesn't want us to be mediocre. God wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. We are all disciples of Christ, and he commands us to pray and to spread his word. God wants to hear from each of us, not only on Sunday, but every day. He wants us to take the time to talk to him through prayer, and we do that, we will hear from him. I must say, we're lucky for us, Pastor Debbie's not up here this morning, or we'd be up to 8 minutes. Earlier, I mentioned that in these United States, we have the freedom to worship as we choose. But with that freedom comes another freedom, the freedom not to worship at all, which is very dangerous territory. The Bible tells us in John 4:23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks." In the past, I have discussed that so many people do not worship and have never brought their children to a church. The belief is that these children will choose whatever they believe when they are old enough. But again, I'd be curious if these children are taught what a Bible, a Torah, or even the Quran, or any of these religious symbols are, for that matter. Somehow, I don't think so. Yet, I ask, what will they choose if they are never even told about God's existence? Curiously, I wonder what the parents believe. Interestingly enough, I wonder if those same parents let their political beliefs be known within their homes. Whether their beliefs politically align with mine or not is clearly not the point here. The point is that children are influenced by their parents' beliefs. But will they have the influence to know and believe in our Savior Jesus Christ? Schools have the freedom to teach about politics in social studies class, but as for a morning prayer or even a moment of silence, so that a child could reflect on prayer is not allowed on public property. That freedom was taken away so the freedom not to pray in school could be implemented. Years ago, when my youngest daughter was making a confirmation in the Catholic Church, there was a scheduled practice and it was mandatory that the parents came. That same night, I was asked to watch a little boy. While we were sitting in the pew, he leaned over to me and in a whisper asked, "What's the big T for?" It took me a minute to understand his question. He was asking me about the cross that was hanging over the altar. He was about 6 years old and apparently had never been in a church before. With my own daughter, I don't typically overstep what she decides with her children, because if I do, as our parent, all of us who are parents know, we'll hear about it. But as grandparents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, what can we do to bring the Word of God to children? How can we quietly introduce God to others when they're in our home? How about keeping our Bibles out in the open for all to see? Or even letting a child see us with our interest looking through the pages of our Bible? Maybe we wear a cross on our neck or hang a cross on the wall in our home. The Word of God is so very important, and perhaps those quiet symbols might bring up questions and start conversations someday. As a child, I attended Catholic school, and that's where my faith was instilled in me. But interestingly enough, my faith was definitely strengthened by my paternal grandmother. I can remember sleepovers at her house where we always prayed before meals. At night, my sister Nancy and I would see Grandma. She'd be kneeling by her bed saying her nighttime prayers. I actually have her old missal at home with a prayer that her best friend wrote to her. Last month, one of my sisters was looking through pictures for my sister Deanna, and she found Bible verses that were written in our grandmother's handwriting. I took the time to look up to all the readings to see if any of them would be appropriate to read at Deanna's Mass. I may not practice my faith the exact same way that my grandmother did, but I can tell you that even though she left us over 38 years ago, her inspiration still lives strong within me. Today is Laity Sunday, and this year's theme is Rise Up. Rise up and remain committed to love's teachings. Laity Sunday celebrates the ministry of all Christians as their lives are empowered for ministry by the Holy Spirit. In the past, you may also have heard me say that when I'm asked to give a sermon, my mind starts out completely blank. I honestly can't do this on my own, people. This time, Barbara called me on Tuesday. "It's Laity Sunday, and we need somebody to do the sermon. Are you interested?" I was like, "I'll let you know tomorrow morning, Barbara, because that's a lot of pressure. A couple of days." So Tuesday morning, before I answered her, I opened my Bible, and I started reading the reading of the week. And I was blank, but I pushed through. And I called her and said, "Yes." Here I am. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Each week, I send out the prayer requests from the previous Sunday. So while I was sitting at my computer on Wednesday, I started typing, and I saw something, and I did a cut and paste. But instead of pasting what I was putting down, it pasted the prayer request from the week before. I have no idea how that happened or where it came from. All I know is that there was a message that I am supposed to relay. God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray often, and he wants us to do his will throughout each and every day. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are your people. We are grateful for all you have blessed us with. Please do not let us be so complacent that we forget that what we have is a blessing. We offer our prayers for our brothers and sisters around the world who need your help right now, God. Please hear our prayers for peace for all humanity. We offer these prayers in Jesus' holy name. Amen.